This is the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
How many new family members did Mahomes suddenly have?
Well, he got the Mahomies. Oh, get a little reverb.
Go ahead, you got it. I mean, but you know how that works. Everybody that gets a big contract, all of a sudden they got people like coming from everywhere. Like, you remember me?
I don't know if he got a girl. I don't know if he got a girl. But
yeah, he does.
Her mom had a conversation with her. Whatever he says, right? You better shut your damn mouth and be a good soldier. I worked too hard to set you up in this position. You better not mess this up. Get pregnant now.
She said she's very proud of him on social media.
Yeah, I'm sure
she should
is.
Be. Tune into the ESPN Daily Podcast. It brings you a deep dive into a single story from one of ESPN's hundreds of reporters. Presented by Marathon. Download, subscribe, and review ESPN Daily. Available wherever you enjoy your podcasts.
All right, so the
schedules came out yesterday for the Mets and the Yankees, right? They'll play each other a little bit of scrimmage-type, interleague kind of stuff, I think, next week. Because it's locally, it makes sense. They're going to play each other two weekends, back-to-back weekends in late August, which will be a lot of fun. It'll be kind of cool. Again, I don't expect anybody to be in the building, but still. But I looked at the schedules. The Yankees open on the 23rd against the defending champs in Washington. 7 o'clock on ESPN. The Mets the next day against the Braves, 4 o'clock there at Citi Field. That's also on ESPN. So a lot of some national love for both teams. Mm. The first five games for the Yankees are very interesting because they've got to play a three-game set in Washington. Then they've got two in Philly against Joe Girardi. And then Girardi and company come to the stadium for another two. 7 of 10 games against the Red Sox are at Yankee Stadium.
7 of 10.
A little benefit there, right? Instead of having to go up to Fenway.
Yeah, so they can't steal the signs up there.
But what really stood out to me was the finish of the season. Marley Rivera had this. 20 of the last 23 games are against teams that lost 95 or more games last season. I mean, you've got, the Red Sox, the Marlins. You finish against the damn Marlins. You're playing 7 against the Blue Jays. Now, I'm here to tell you that while that stands out, I think the Blue Jays are going to be a pain in the ass this year. I don't think the Blue Jays are a team that you just kind of like joke about or just blow off. I don't think you blow off that team at all. They are they're a young team, yes. But they're that pain in the ass kind of team that late last season was giving everybody fits. So I'm just saying that's one thing I'd keep an eye on. But the numbers tell you, based on last year, that the Yankees have an easy schedule to finish. Their last 20 is a joke.
Right.
And that should set them up for a very comfortable step into the postseason, be conditioned and ready to dominate. As long as you have two capable starters, and they might have three.
Yeah.
They get Paxton rolling.
I like how Chad Green looks, too.
And they've got a couple of guys that you keep your eye on. But I'm telling you, between Garrett Cole, we'll see a little bit of him today or tonight in the workout. And then you have Tanaka. Thankfully, that line drive didn't cause more damage. But I'm just feeling like they are shut up. Now, the Mets, on the other hand, completely different story, Bart.
Murderers row.
They come out of the gate. They're playing six of their first 10 against Atlanta. So they're coming out of the gate against a tough Atlanta team. Although, is Freddie Freeman going to play? Or
I hope he's not. He's a Met killer.
No, but I know I thought he had COVID, but I think his Markakis isn't going to play. But is Freddie Freeman going to play? What's their situation? We're just basing on what we know. But they finish their last 16 games. Now they play, and this is where it kind of gets interesting, because I know, like I said, Toronto, they have three games against Toronto, which the Blue Jays might just be a pain in the ass team. I don't know. But they've got the Phillies. They've got the Braves again, three more. They've got the Rays, who are good. And then, by the way, they finish at Washington.
Yeah.
So, this is not a season where you can have a slump of anything more than maybe two losses in a row or three in a row. Anything more than that is almost going to be catastrophic. It's a 60 game season.
Yeah, but you want to know if Washington is going to have a hangover and how much are they going to miss the leadership and like just presence of Rendon. That is a big loss for them. I'm worried more about the Phillies than I am about the Nationals, because I feel like they've kind of let the air out.
They're going to be way more organized this year, the Phillies are. You know that. You know how Joe is. Now, it's been tough for him. He hasn't really been able to be the manager that you know he is when he's got a full spring training. But I don't care. There is some talent there. They're going to – that's not a – look, I still think the Mets have a team and the pitching, even without Syndergaard, depending on their bullpen, of course.
Yeah.
But the Mets in a short season could be a dangerous team because aren't the Mets the kind of team that has those
– streaky.
They're best in – they're so streaky. That they are really at their best in those short, like, quick pocket kind of situations in a season when they're healthy, and they are healthy relatively right now. And Yoenis Cespedes is the biggest wild card going right now.
Yes,
you don't know what you're getting out of him, but it could be huge with the universal DH.
Because if he does what he did in 2015, he's able to catch fire like that. And
that's 5 years ago.
Yeah, him at a DH, him knowing that this is a money year for him, him knowing that he had to give back $10 million because he was riding on a wild boar, whatever he was doing, the fact that he can be a DH and you can hide him and you can really only, you know, make him, you know, play a little outfield every once in a while, mm-hmm. I think this is a win-win because if he catches fire, then the most interesting person that I want to see is can Betances potentially be the closer. Can he potentially be that closer that they need? You know, the ninth inning guy.
Yeah.
If the kid can't bounce back, well, I always forget the kid name. The kid from last year from Seattle.
Edwin Diaz, the closer.
Yeah. If Edwin Diaz can't close, I mean, you got Dylan.
Yeah, familiar Tanzo. That they're trying to get a reclamation project
man,
in him.
Man, I don't care how much weight he lost. I ain't worried. I'm trying to see if Diaz can.
Well,
come
they have
back
three guys that can. They got three guys that can close. They got to get Diaz right. He really wasn't right in spring training before they shut it down. He was just, you know, they were trying to talk him into being right, but you can tell it wasn't all there. But, yeah, Betances is the biggest part of this thing.
Yeah.
They've got to get one guy they can rely on, obviously, in the night. How many, what's it, 20, 23 games that they lost last year in late innings?
23.
I mean, that's devastating to a team. Now, the other part of the Mets that we got to keep an eye on is the fact that this is a big – these next couple of days are a big deal for them as they're taking now bids, official bids, to sell the team. And who ends up winning the bid? And we could know in a couple of weeks. We could know by the end of this baseball season. But this could be the last season of the Wilpons running this franchise. I mean, some reports say it will be because they have to sell the team by the end of the year.
I mean,
well, that's like it could be a monumental change for this franchise, good or bad. You get if the winning bid is the guys that just want the property because they want to develop around City Field, that's a problem. But if you get a Steve Cohen kind of guy who's just passionate, wants to dump all his money in and take over.
Please.
I mean, this could be. I mean, this is a huge year for the Mets, not just on the field but off of it.
And the fact that Cohen, if he's going to still come in at 2.6, he's not going to lessen his offer because he know that the Mets are desperate. And, mm-hmm. You hear reports that people are saying 1.9 and things like that. He still gives you 2.6.
Yes.
That means if we can do that, that means we can spend. It's like Mahomes. Mahomes don't have to get all his money right now. Mahomes know that money coming. So he can leverage and spend freely in hopes that he knows that money's guaranteed. Cohen got money that you can't you can't get rid of that money. It's like it's stuck to you. Like, I don't want this money. Nope. I'm part of you forever. So just imagine, because to me, the most interesting part of this season is if a team gets off to a horrible start, do they shut it down and start selling off assets, especially if they're a team that's not in a big market, that doesn't have a big local television brand? Do they start selling off major pieces early? And because Cohen has that money, will he spend over and go close to the luxury tax if he feels that this is a year that maybe, just maybe, that they can spend their way into the World Series or to the playoffs and get some arms or get whatever they feel that they need? That's the most important part, because Cohen levels the field because he has money to blow. And if he's able to blow it and we know that he's going to buy it, he may allow the Wilpons to spend some money on his behalf to improve this team this year.
Now, it was reported yesterday, Charles Gasparino from Fox Business was saying that Cohen isn't likely to participate in the first round bidding, which I think is by Thursday?
Yeah, get all the chumps up.
Well, that's also to see where the number's going to be. You know, I've already offered you 2.6, so let's see what everybody else comes in, and you're probably that you're going to get these bids from, you know, A-Rod and Rapoli and all them, like that group. I mean, are they going to come to? Are they going to get the two bill? Like, are they going to go there? And was it the Devil and Net the Devil and Sixers owners?
Yeah,
they came up with was it one? What was that?
Come on, man.
You know, so if
you go by the Cincinnati Reds for 1-4, man. Get up out of here. You ain't buying.
But if you're Cohen, like, what do you like? They already know what I'm going to give them. Like, they already know what I want the franchise. I don't need to get involved in this first round stuff.
Yeah.
Like, I'll get involved when I'm ready to get involved.
Y'all
you
want to
take some of these other bids and see where – let's set the market. And then I'll jump in when I'm ready to jump in.
That's how
it should be.
It's like Shark Tank, right? Now, listen, you can take this right now, but you can't talk to nobody else. Now, you can take this 2-6, or you can take this chance and go out here and try to get this one. But Mr. Wonderful is out. You know what I'm saying? So you want this money right now, you come take it because he got the little bald head like Mr. Wonderful. If you want that, then you come get it right now. I got this 2-6 for you. Or you can mess around, and that 2-6 may become 2-1 when you realize that nobody else is willing to go past, you know, 1-9. So are you willing to take that point four?
Yeah. Now, all the reports say that the Cohen is definitely still interested. I know Newsday has it as well, that he's still very much sort of lingering. But whether or not he puts a bid in now, does he need to? He's already put his bid in, and they turned him down. So if you're him, you probably are just in wait-and-see mode. Let's see what the market sets, and I'll decide if it's a number that I can definitely match, and I'll stay in it. It ain't game day, but you can still feast like it is. Meet Church's new $5 Campfire Smokehouse Chicken, our fan favorite with a new campfire flavor, plus mashed potatoes and a biscuit. Church's, bring that down-home flavor. Offer valid at participating locations. 800-919-3776. Grab a call to here in a moment.
Did you say taters, though? You said taters.
Taters. I didn't say, you know what? I should have said it that way. Plus mashed taters and a biscuit. If it ain't first or last. I don't know why I read it like that, but that's the way it goes.
I love it.
I know the Yankees and Mets are going to play each other, like I said. I think it's the 18th. So it might be the 17th and 18th next week, but the 18th and 19th, all right. And that's so you're seeing some of the exhibition games now they're going to play. So instead of watching them play against each other in a controlled inter-squad scrimmage, we'll get to see them play against other teams. They got the Phillies on the 20th, too. So we'll start seeing some real baseball just in a few more days here if you can hold out. But I'm not embarrassed to say I was watching that last night, enjoying every minute of it because it was something different. On the NBA side of things, how about this, Bart? As we were talking about how important it is for the Nets not having KD, Kyrie, no DeAndre. Now Spencer Dinwiddie's out. He actually gave credit to the franchise saying sometimes you have to protect the player from himself.
Yeah.
And so he's suggesting that the team told him, you got COVID, why don't you just sit this thing out? And I said, well, yeah, because the Nets want to keep their pick. They want to fall out of the playoffs, right? Because they're in the seventh spot. So
what's
the Wizards.
What's the counter?
The Wizards just said Bradley Beal has a shoulder issue. He will not be playing. I mean,
what shoulder injury doesn't heal over 120 days?
I don't know. It's a serious one. Clearly a serious one. Seriously, clearly serious one. Bottom line is,
hey,
is
that the Wizards. No tanking in sports. Hawk wash. You
the Wizards are ninth, and they're a good six games out. I mean, why are they even going at this point? The Nets are going to make the playoffs, but whoever they end up playing in the first round, it's like a bye.
Right.
You know, if you're Jacques Vaughn, you're like, wait, you can't judge me on this. Wait a second.
Exactly.
Like, I love this story. Jacques Vaughn is already creating relationships with Kyrie and KD. How are you doing that, man? Like, what are you doing? They're nowhere near you, and you're going to be down in Orlando in a bubble. How are you even developing?
Hit us with it, Anthony. I don't even know what you're shorty. That's exactly what KD said.
I don't even know what you're talking about, Shorty.
Yeah, I'm Kevin Durant. You know who I am. I know who I am.
Who are
it's
you? Why do I got to talk to you?
I'm your coach. Remember, I'm the one that was just throw you on the balls and make sure your Gatorade was right. And I'm the head coach now.
I just want a fair chance, man.
Yeah, you did. No, that's we all do. We all do.
Tell them
don't sleep. By the way, don't sleep on the Rockets and Russell Westbrook and Harden. Like they that could be.
Because that pace,
they
man, could, if you ain't in shape.
Oh, my God.
Everybody's talking about Zion, his weight loss. Yep. I wonder, how did he lose that weight?
It's a sea moss.
You know what I'm saying? Because you look at what happened to Jokic, right? And we don't know, man. But that's I mean, I was surprised to see him lose 25 pounds that easy.
I mean, it's probably just cut out a couple of things that you shouldn't be eating. It starts there, doesn't it? I mean, the kid works out. You know, he works out. He's probably
you want pancakes?
He's young. He's got that. He's got that the metabolism that we all wish we still could have. You could bottle that metabolism, baby.
You know how many po' boys he walked by living in New Orleans, man? How many cream sauces?
I never could say no. I can never say no. Tell you what, Bourbon Street Cafe, man. You found me there. Lunch and dinner. They missed New Orleans. 800-919-3776. Let's take Machiavelli in the Bronx.
Hey, guys, I got a quick question. Who do you think deserves the contract more, Patrick Mahomes or Mike Trout?
I mean, I'll only say this. The difference between the two is pretty obvious. Patrick Mahomes is not just an on-the-field contributor. He does so much for his team brand-wise, visually. You know, the Chiefs have become now a national team that everybody's invested in because of him. The Angels are not getting that bang for their buck out of Mike Trout, period.
Cut the gray out. He won a Super Bowl. Mike Trout ain't won nothing.
I guess that part's important too, right?
You know what I'm saying? Like, what has he done? Like, he's directly putting money back in the organization. How many T-shirts they go make off of selling memorabilia? Well,
never mind the T-shirts, though. It's everything else.
The value of the brand went up. Mike Trout ain't doing it, but taking money back.
But what has Trout done for the Angels? Are people like
nothing?
Do people love the Angels just because of Mike Trout?
Tell me this. How many times have we ever even
People love
seen?
Steph Curry. They love the Warriors because of Steph Curry. Who loves the Angels because of Mike Trout? No. That's the answer. You can tell me all you want. He's the best player in the game. He's this, he's that. He's a humble guy. That's great. It's about business. Is he good for business? And my answer is no. And you said it. He doesn't even help you win.
Right. How many? He's Khalil Mack right now. That's who the hell he is. He's Khalil Mack. He's over there taking all his money, not giving no results. Yeah, his numbers look good, but he ain't elevating his team. Tell you the truth, I'd much rather pay my money to see Shohei Ohtani because it's going to be more entertaining.
What?
Yeah, I said it. I'm more excited to see him on the
I know what you're saying because he pitches and he also hits bombs.
He is dingers. You know what I'm saying? So he's a guy that's doing something I've never seen before. No, but he's a real slugger. You know
Bartolo
what I'm saying?
Cologne?
I want to see. Okay, his one career home run. Shohei Ohtani put on a mini show his first year as far as hitting with the Tommy John.
I hear you. Yeah.
So now to see a guy that's going to do both, I'm more intrigued to see that. I've never even seen Mike Trout. When is the last time he's been on a national game? A national TV televised A-Rod, Mendoza, all of them there. I don't remember him being there. Nobody's even excited to come see him play. Nobody's lining up to disparage this.
Yeah, I'm with you. That's the thing. And people have to understand, this is not to disparage Mike Trout. He is a great player. And everything we know, he's a great guy. But I'm sorry, he does not move the needle for the business. And that's why when you say, is he worth the 420, 425 that he's making? Is he worth it? I'm going to tell you no. No, he's not. Yeah. Because if you're making that kind of money, you have to move the needle. You have to make me a national franchise. Everybody has to love. Everybody's got to be wearing our gear. We have to become a national brand because of you. That's why you invest $500 million into a player. Right. And Mike Trout, God bless him, doesn't do that.
What is his jersey sales? Like, where does he rank? I bet you he doesn't outrank Mookie Betts. I bet you he don't outrank Judge. Yeah. He probably don't even outrank Gleyber Torres.
Oof.
Probably don't even
Definitely
outrank
not
Black, not Vlad Guerrero.
We'll have to look
young,
it up.
Not, no, not
we'll
have to look kid, it, we'll The young kid Acuna. Probably don't outdo Acuna.
Right. It's the harsh truth for baseball. It really is. That your best player doesn't move the needle for the sport. And it's not his fault. That's just the business and that's just reality. All right, 800-919-3776. Sorry, so fourth, Anthony says. Fourth in 2019 behind Harper, Betts, and Judge. All the guys you just named. So fourth is okay, but not for the guy that's supposed to be leading your sport. Thanks to Aaron, who found the most updated jersey sales, which came out at the end of last season for baseball. MLB, so you have Aaron Judge at number one, Bryce Harper at number two. His Phillies jersey was very popular.
100%
Cody Bellinger.
On me right there.
Yeah. Anthony, it's all right. You know, Anthony, just hit a quick Google. It's okay. But Aaron.
Just Google it.
Aaron put a little more work into it. That's all I'm saying. Cody Bellinger of the Dodgers, number three. Javier Baez of the Cubs, number four. Kristen Yelich, Brewers, five. Ronald Acuna, six with the Braves.
Yep.
Mookie Betts' Red Sox jersey. The Sox. Mookie, seventh. Altuve's jersey that he couldn't take off. Eighth.
do his come with a zipper? Like when you buy his, it's like a zipper. It's like you, it's no functional
Velcro.
Buttons.
You can't get that jersey off. The Altuve jersey, number 8, you can't take it off.
No functional buttons.
It just
buttons.
Sticks to you. There's no way you can get it off. It also, by the way, has a little buzzer inside. Weird. And then there's Mike Trout at 9. So, I mean, barely a top 10 jersey. Now, others will say, well, because people already bought that jersey. Think a lot of Yankee fans have an Aaron Judge jersey by now, would you say?
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought so, too. Let's take Ethan and Wyckoff. Ethan.
What's up, guys? Just wanted to make a quick note. Yeah, I'm doing well. How are you?
Good.
Yeah, I just want to make a quick note about what you were saying about Mahomes and Trout.
Mm-hmm.
Trout can't really hold a baseball team to get to a World Series on his own, and he's always been supported by, for a lackluster crew. But I feel like Mahomes has always had that.
It's fair.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's fair. The hardest thing to do as a baseball player is to carry a team like an NBA guy can do, or even in football. Yeah. So you're right. He hasn't won, but that's when people say, is he worth the contract? You can also argue that business-wise for the team, what's he doing for the brand?
And also, if he's such a great superstar, so electric, why don't other players want to come to play with him? That's the problem, too. Why can't you attract? We hear Aaron Judge openly recruiting people. Hey, come here. You know, come here, right? We don't hear Trout or people saying, I mean, it's in L.A. I know it's in Anaheim, but it's still L.A. Like, you can't recruit and get some of the top free agents to come out there with you. You can't force some of your ownership to say, hey, I want this player alongside of me.
Mm-hmm.
So what are you actively doing? Are you just saying, I'm going to do my job and allow the organization just to do whatever they want? I mean, hell, even Stanton made sure that he had contingencies in his plan to get the hell out of there. That's why I didn't understand why Trout even took the extension. That let me know that he was more about the money and not more about winning a championship. Because I guarantee you the Phillies would have gave him whatever he wanted. He would have been right back in his backyard. And guess what? He wouldn't have to take a plane to come see the Eagles play. He'd already be there. And that's a team that was willing to spend the money if he would have just been patient. So he wasn't trying to win. He was trying to get paid.
Didn't Kay say Mike Trout Yankees one day? Didn't Kay say that one time? Didn't he always say that? Like Trout, yep. Like it almost feels like it's inevitable. Eventually, he's just going to be on the Yankees.
He's like Captain America, man. He's a J.J. Watt of baseball.
I wonder, though, why
not come home? Why not come home?
It's just like I said. People ask is, you know, you compare those two contracts, two richest contracts in North American sports, and I'm saying Mahomes is a lot more for the brand. At least right now, he is. Let's take Mark in New Jersey real quick, Mark.
Hey guys, thanks for taking my call. I've been on hold basically half the morning. Now I appreciate it. So, so politics and sports just keep colliding, right? With this Deshaun Jackson thing, with Bubba Wallace, right? Mm-hmm. I just wanted your opinion, right? We have on one side, we have cancel culture. On the other side, freedom of speech. Meanwhile, Deshaun Jackson quotes, you know, possibly the most evil person that we've ever seen on our planet.
Right.
Tried to exterminate 6 million people, right? We know what we're talking about.
Yep.
Do you think it should get more attention? Do you think it should be something that Deshaun Jackson speaks out, shows some, you know, because saying and doing are two different things. He apologized, but
he's ignorant. It was a completely ignorant thing that he didn't put any thought into. It was just completely stupid. We just scolded him for the previously segment.
And it's going to be retribution.
He's incredibly dumb.
He has two Jewish owners.
He got rebuked by his own team. I mean,
it's going to be a fine in there. It's going to be something he's going to have to do. Whether, you know, like when Riley Cooper got caught saying the N-word, he's going to have
to face
Yeah, Riley Cooper had to face the music, but they didn't cut him. I mean, he had to face the music, and then obviously you got to deal with that in the locker room.
He's allowed to make a mistake. Now he didn't double down on it. He said he was sorry and he apologized for it. Now we have to see what his actions are moving forward, because ignorance is not an excuse for using something like that, because you have to understand, if we're going to judge one culture, we got to judge the other. So we're going to beat Deshaun Jackson down just as much as we beat anybody else down, because it's just stupid. It's idiotic. It's uneducated. Go ahead.
Bart, you said it perfectly. He made a mistake. And I'd love for people to take that into consideration. I'm not trying to cancel him out, right? But you look at all that's going on across our country with statues being taken down.
That's a completely different topic, though. Like Drew Brees is the example I'll give before you say anything, Bart.
Yeah,
Drew Brees is the example I'll give. where he said when he said about kneeling right for the anthem for the flag, and he spoke out, and then he didn't realize that he came off a little bit unaware the way he sounded. Not that anything he said was wrong. Now what Deshaun said was wrong, but Drew said something that was just I don't know what the best way to put it, but it was tone deaf at the time with what he said. And so he had to walk it back. He had to have a discussion and realize, you know what, I didn't quite understand what the protest was about. Now I do. And he put some time in. Will Deshaun do the same thing? Will he have a talk with Howie Roseman? Will he have a talk with anybody in the Jewish community and realize that, you know what, that was really sensitive what I just did there?
All he has to understand is that the Holocaust is equivalent to, or, you know, on a smaller scale, to slavery. And all the people that was died during the Middle Passage, and if he understands that he feels the hurt from the Middle Passage and 400 years of slavery, that he should understand how many people he hurt to the core that lost family members. Now, to go back to your opinion,
people
about
that were
the
marginalized
statues, could you imagine having to be a young black kid living in an area and you're watching, you're going to see glorified statues of your oppressor? Could you imagine what that does to somebody? Statues belong in museums so that you can tell the story of America, a dark part of America. They shouldn't be put out as symbols of the when America was great, because for black people it wasn't great, and it wasn't to be celebrated, right? The same way the Confederate flag, it should be looked at the same way that the swastika is looked at as well, because it was about terror. You talk about domestic terrorism. That's what happened with the KKK, the Confederate flag, trying to keep people enslaved. We're talking about human beings that you put in cages and whooped and put things around their neck like they were dogs. So, of course, I don't want to see a statue when I come out of a person that did that to my ancestors, and that be celebrated. He shouldn't have a statue. We should be able to tell the story about how hateful people can be.
That's
a symbol of.
I'll put a bow on it by saying this. The good news is that people are learning about history. And
they
putting
won't.
Some emphasis
exactly.
now on
it.
Instead of walking by a statue now, did you pay attention to the statue now? And you're learning history, and that's important too. Let's leave it at that. We got audio files.
The audio file.
So we envision if the Lakers win a championship, there'll be a parade down Main Street in Magic Kingdom. And maybe you'll see a shirtless J.R. Smith with a bottle of Little Hennessy. And his arm around, you know, Minnie Mouse or Daisy or
Daisy,
one of the characters,
Daisy,
of course.
Got,
maybe Cinderella. You never know.
Daisy got back. Just letting you know.
But before he does that, he'll have to deal with LeBron James.
Well, for me, firsthand, I know how LeBron can get pissed at me. I know how to deal with it. It gives that gap of, you know, understanding still all about winning, because, I mean, as we all seen in the MJ doc, people are so hard on MJ because he was so hard on his teammates and stuff like that. But when you got a case like LeBron, it's different, because obviously he's doing everything he wants to do to win and everything else, and it kind of comes off in the wrong way sometimes. And you need that bridge as a player to be able to go to the next player and be like, listen, man, there's nothing personal. Who was right, who was wrong. It's just a good balance, I think, between myself and him, because he knows just as well as he can challenge anybody else, I'll challenge him. And
really,
tell you what, we love JR. I know he's a neighbor of yours. Just JR, only thing I will say is this: time, score, situation. Just make sure you know time, score, and situation. It's really it. Everything after that is going to be fine.
He was very open, man.
Yeah, no. That's the relationship they have, and he gets it. JR's the best teammate to have, because you can yell and scream at him. You can get on his case. He
can't get right. He's like, man, get my black mile, man. All right, man, I'm ready. Let's go. Forget it.
All right, Ariel Helwani on his MMA show pod had Jorge Masvidal, who's going to fight Usman at 251 this weekend at Fight Island. Mm-hmm. And you want to talk about trash talk? There's certain things you say, like, as a fighter, that I'm going to do to the opponent. Here's what he said about what he's going to do to Usman.
Me baptizing this in front of the whole world.
So you think you knock him out?
Cold-blooded as can be. His body's grasping for air. I got my hand raised over him. Just going to baptize him, man, for the world to see. It's going to be violent.
man. He talking a lot. He talking a lot of trash, man. Remember last time, you know, I heard some trash talk like that. It was by Mr. R. Mike Tyson. Ooh. Talk about my style's impregnable. I'm ferocious. I want to eat his kids. All pray. And then he got, at the end of the fight, he was wiping Lennox Lewis' sweat off his head. I never your mother. Like, what the hell? You knocked the testosterone out of R. Mike. Now, Usman, I don't want to see that happen to you, because that dude you fighting, he may have just prepared for this fight, and he has some lot of weight to lose, so he may come out and his energy may be sapped. But in the UFC, all it takes with them little-ass gloves is one little nick, and ain't no standing eight. So don't be selling these wolf tickets if you ain't no wolf. Because last time we saw that, Khabib, it was Conor McGregor talking all that trash. He went night-night.
Yeah.
Then got beat up by the corner man after he got woke up from being night-night.
Last but not least, you remember Tiger King? Remember when that was a thing that everybody was watching and you don't know why, you just kept watching it and thought maybe he was crazy, and then the deeper you got into the story, you realize, oh, he's not even the only crazy one. He might not even be the craziest one.
Exactly.
Carol Baskin, who claims to be a rights activist for big cats, has that big cat rescue and has those crazy eyes. Her and Adam Gase, you know, she puts on a ball cap. You never know. Anyways, randomly decides that she's going to take her time to wish Zion a happy birthday.
Hey, all you cool cats and kittens. It's Carol Baskin at Big Cat Rescue. And our guy Zion is turning 20 years old.
Oh, boy.
The cool cats and kittens at Overtime have loved watching you play and grow over the years and can't wait to watch you dunk on everybody in Orlando. We're always rooting for the coolest cat around, and that's Big Z.
He's not a cat, he's a pelican. He's not a cat. He's a pelican. He's not a cat.
Don't ever pull up to her spot. Like, hey, can you autograph
Coach Cal? Coach Cal wanted to be a cat, but he decided to go to Duke.
Yeah.
But, I mean, cool cats. Is that not the creepiest, like, voice?
That's
a real creepy voice. If they do a Get Out 2, she could be in it.
No, if they remake Misery. Come in. You need to use the phone. I don't know why we use the phone. She probably get him in with a po' boy, or moon pie, some stuff like that. And then break his ankles. And had a cat sitting there waiting there. Like, if you get up, you're gonna get ate by a tiger.
Hi, Bartholomew. You're a cool cat.
You ain't know I went
they
back.
They call you
Misery.
A Saluki, but you're
all
cool
you cool
cat.
Cats and kittens. It's Carol.
Bartholomew, cool you cool cat.
Yeah, don't drink. Don't take no water from her house. You wake up like, where am I?
I can definitely see her, though, with the teacup going sink. I'm telling you, like, creep central. All right, that's Audio Files. Thank you, Anthony. Thank you, J-Dub. Hey, you cool cat. My God.
Who is he, Heathcliff?
He can kind of cool cats and kittens.
He can be Heathcliff.
That voice, like, dude. By the way, if she does off this husband that she's got now, right, if he somehow disappears.
Yeah.
If you're the third husband, that's a you problem.
You deserve it.
That's on you.
Yeah, you deserve it.
Yeah, you deserve
it. You deserve it. Like, ain't nobody going to feel sorry. Ain't going to be no hashtags. Ain't nobody going to be showing up. Ain't nobody going to send no broken will. None of that. It's whatever, dog. You had a death wish. Hope it was worth it. Hope she a tiger in the bed.
B situation taken care of at the house, Bart. I mean, it was a little dicey, though, because...
No more Honey Nut Cheerios for
the
you.
No. Thankfully, I've taken... But the poor guy who came, and they did a great job, but... When he first saw them, like, they just all of a sudden, like, he stomped down on the deck and they just came flying out like a volcano of yellow jackets.
Rookie.
He screeched like, I mean, seriously, just ducked back. Like he'd never seen bees before.
Dude, gotta
but
be
then
crazy,
he came
man.
Back in his bee outfit with his smoke thing and all the sprays. And all of a sudden now, exactly. He wanted all the smoke.
I got smoke. I'll be right back. Go in my car, get my guns, kill everybody.
Yeah.
No, Raymond.
My man at Long Island Exterminating, I appreciate him. But it was just so funny how he was embarrassed. He's like, I'm really sorry. Like, I never do that. But they just startled me. But then he came back like he was ready to just take them all out. Like, he was aggressive. Like, I'm killing everybody.
No remorse. I told you, he was like Raymond on White Man Can't Jump. Go in my car, get my gun, shoot everybody.
Oh, man. Encore time. And we began the show with this this record contract for Patrick Mahomes. And as we said at the beginning, Bart, will he see the entire entirety of it, the entire 10 years? And actually, if you consider the extensions, really 12 years.
Yeah.
$503 million is the potential worth. $140 million injury guarantee. The no-trade clause in there as well. I look at it as there's very few people left in sports that you would say is worth it. I know Gerrit Cole. Baseball is a different animal. They do that with their contracts. You see it enough on baseball. But outside of baseball, obviously in the NHL and the NBA, you can't do those contracts anymore. There's rules. But let's just not – we're not talking about rules. We're talking about just your value. Is there another player that you would give that – if you could give that kind of commitment to in the NFL, in the NBA, or in the NHL that you could think of? Another player, you're like, this guy, because like I said, Mahomes, 24 years old, a champion already, an MVP already, an incredible brand already. He's helped the Chiefs become a team that everybody around the country loves. You love him as a personality. He's got a personality that transcends sports, very marketable. He's all of a sudden now also using his voice to speak out about social injustice. There's so much about him that you feel like this guy is just on the verge of being a megastar, and he's going to be great for the Chiefs brand. They're going to make their money back. Is there another athlete that you say has all of that and would be worth it to you?
I say one of the most electric players in all of sports entertainment value-wise that fills stadiums up, that's going to be like the next LeBron. You got to go with Zion 1, right? Then, you know, I want to go to boxing because we saw Canelo have that $10 million, that $350 million contract. But you look at a guy like Tyson Fury as well.
Didn't Mayweather have like a six-fight deal? That was something?
Yeah, but that was Showtime, but I don't think it was $300. Now, he ended up making the $100 million fighting Pacquiao and all that stuff. But I'm talking about young fighters. Another fighter I would probably say is Errol Spence.
I think you got to go team sports, though.
Like, okay, team
because,
sports.
Because I'm a team owner and I'm paying you. It's different when you're an individual player and you're making that money.
Well, Luka Doncic. Luka. I mean, I think Luka's going to be amazing, man. He's on track already. Now, if he can stay healthy, but I think Luka's definitely showing you that he's a guy for the next 10 years that's going to be a problem. Out of this whole group, you know, he might end up being one of the best players. You talk about a guy trust with all these 14 triple-doubles.
If you could, you would trust giving 10 years to Luka or 10 years to Zion. I'll tell you right now, I wouldn't do either one of them.
That's
both have the potential to get hurt, although Luka doesn't have as much rise, so he doesn't play more than off the court. Like, so you don't think his joints are going to break down or you'll have like the injury factor. Zion, to me, is that's your biggest fear with him, is if you give him a long-term deal. Now, again, he can only get a five-year deal max, but still, I'm just saying if you could. Like, Giannis Antetokounmpo is another example. Of a guy that you think if you could have given him a 10-year deal, it's worth doing it because there's so much about him that you like. Yeah. Although I don't know, is he that marketable? Is he somebody that you could have as a face of your league?
Hey, all you cool cats and kittens.
He's international. So he's going to bring you an overseas market as well. Same with Luka, right? Mm. Their base expands far outside the United States. You know, kind of like how Yao Ming always had the number one jersey sale because every Asian person always made sure they supported him. Mm-hmm. He's always the leader in all-star votes and all that stuff. When you think about Giannis, he plays the part. He's a guy that's self-made. We've seen him come up from a skinny kid, put the work in. See, that's the difference. Like, he's not just a superstar. He's a hard-working superstar.
Yes.
He has all the pedigree that you're looking for, a guy that's going to improve. Now, if he improves his jump shot, then he can be unstoppable where he doesn't have to kind of go around three people when they make the wall at the free throw line for him. He can just start being a guy that can put, that can come down, spot up, and pull up. And then that opens everything totally up. And then he's indefensible because you can't stop him from getting to the rack. That's why they make that fence defense against him.
So he has to be able to make a jump shot.
Man. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He may be the safest one because you don't worry about him getting injured. He's wiry, yes, but you don't worry about him getting injured. Every time I see Zion dunk, it just reminds me of how explosive Derrick Rose was, how Russell Westbrook is. And it's like, man, they're going to land wrong one day. He's going to land on somebody's foot one day.
And your game changes.
It's going to be bad.
Oh,
and then he's going to end up like Dominique Wilkins or somebody like that is playing below the rim. You know what I mean? That's what always worries me about him.
Yeah, you know, that can happen. Now you just wonder, is this the first time that an NBA players look to an NFL player getting paid and being jealous? Because normally it's the other way around. NFL players have always looked. Now, again, it's not fully guaranteed that $500, so we know that's not fully guaranteed, but still, you wonder if it's going to start a trend.
But that's why it's important that they get this season done, because you don't want them to open back up the CBA and it goes back down.
Ahala!
Oh, man. No, you're good. We have plenty of time. The K Show is coming up next. This was a great show. We have more to come tomorrow. See you tomorrow.
Peace.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays from 1 to 3 on 98.7 ESPN.